Reverend Flip Benham is the National Director of Operation Rescue, a group which describes itself as supporting and encouraging Christians who stand on behalf of unborn children. He condemns the shootings at abortion clinics and says they're the work of vigilantes who the larger movement cannot be held responsible for. I asked him what he does if someone suspicious comes to a meeting, someone he thinks may show up at a clinic with a gun.
I confronted Paul Hill in April of this year in Chicago, and I beseeched him in the name of Jesus, for the cause of Christ, for the sake of the children waiting to be born, and for the sake of his family, that he cease and desist spreading this public heresy. It is wrong, it is sin, it is called murder, and it is never right to do wrong to gain a right end. And I made that clear to him, and he told me that he thought he would never be one that would do such a thing. And yet, I know that wrong theology inevitably leads to wrong behavior. You know, you can't think about adultery very long before your body begins to follow it. And what happened was that Paul Hill pulled the trigger on July 29th, early in the morning, and killed two people there. That was sin. If I was there when Paul Hill had pulled out that weapon, I would have gotten in between. He would have had to have killed me first. This is the Christian response. This is what we are supposed to do.
Clearly, some people, some extremists, like the alleged murderer Friday, are hearing something different in the anti-abortion movement than you want them to be hearing.
Absolutely.
Right. They are hearing that it's appropriate to go out and shoot somebody. Right.
And we have dealt with over and over again. We will not allow a Paul Hill. We will not allow a Michael Bray or an Andrew Burnett to speak at any of our events. These people that say that that homicide is justifiable in the case of an abortionist, that is a lie from the pit of hell. The church will not allow these people to speak. They are silenced. It is not all right to shout fire in a crowded theater, and this theology of theirs is devastating. That's why we've silenced them. They cannot speak at any of our events, and we make it very clear why they can't.
Is this a time for you to reflect on the language your group uses in opposing abortion and to ask yourself if that language is unintentionally inflaming vigilantes with guns?
Okay, I think I can answer that very simply. It is not our rhetoric. It is the inflammatory truth of what is happening to little boys and little girls. The answer is that little boys and little girls are being killed in these mills. There isn't anything I can do to change that truth. Now, the pro-choice side would like to say, well, that's going to cause people to shoot. Well, then you probably need to deal with the truth. This is what you're doing. The truth is the only weapon we have. It is the only weapon we will use. And by the way, it is very effective.
Last spring, President Clinton signed a bill that's known as the FACE Act.
Right.
FACE is an acronym for Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances. And this bill makes it a crime to block entrances or, you know, to prevent people from entering or to threaten them as they enter. How has this affected your group's strategy?
Well, it simply hasn't. We know that no matter for how long they put us in jail, you know, this is part of our heritage as Christians, following our Lord. You know, he went all the way to the cross and died for us, and those who follow him will find out, well, half of the New Testament was written from jail, and we need to remember that maybe jail isn't a bad place to be when you have a nation that is killing children. And, you know, the FACE bill was made to silence the Christian message, to get the Christians off the street. It has absolutely no effect on vigilantes. They're going to do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it. But it is an attempt to move the peaceful Christians off of the streets. What we have to do is keep the peaceful Christians on the street so that there will be peace in the streets and there will be more peace in those abortion mills where children die.
Your group, Operation Rescue, just put out a press release saying that the murders last week at the Boston area clinics are just a harbinger of what's to come.
Yes, and
What is to come?
Well, you haven't seen anything yet. What ended in 94, if we continue killing children in this nation, The murder that we see rampant in 94, and I'm not just talking about outside abortion mills, I'm talking about all over this nation, is simply and only going to increase, and there isn't a police force big enough. You know, we have more people per capita in jail in the United States of America than any other nation in this whole globe, and we still can't take care of the violence that is savaging us. We don't know what to do. I'm telling you that if we don't get on our knees before Almighty God, and that's why we're calling churches to gather together on January 21st at 6 o'clock until January 22nd at 6 o'clock and mourn and weep and pray and fast and repent over our own sin, if we don't have God that will bring healing to this land, then there is no hope for us at all, because it only gets worse. We are reaping the consequences of what we have sown, and that is murder in the streets that is savaging our children.
Reverend Flip Benham is the National Director of Operation Rescue. Reverend Pat Mahoney is a leader in the anti-abortion movement. He's former national spokesperson for Operation Rescue and now is executive director of the Christian Defense Coalition, which he says is primarily a political lobbying group. I asked him how he thought the anti-abortion movement should respond to the recent murders. He told me he thinks the anti-abortion movement should repudiate these acts and that these murders in no way reflect what the movement is about.
It just seems an incredible contradiction to me that a person could call themselves pro-life and then support the shooting of people at a clinic. So I think the first response is to utterly condemn and repudiate without exception what happened in Brookline and in Norfolk and, of course, Pensacola earlier in the year. I think on another level, though, and here's where there's some differing of opinions, I think how to take steps to see that this violence doesn't increase or continue is where there is a bit of philosophical difference within the movement. For example, Cardinal Law, the Archbishop of Boston, who is a person whom I respect, I believe is making a grave error in calling for a moratorium on demonstrations in front of clinics. History has shown that when peaceful people of goodwill are in front of clinics demonstrating, I'm a Protestant minister, but praying the rosary, holding signs, and perhaps even engaging in flamboyant and provocative speech, yet nonviolent speech, that clinics are the safest.
Have you ever been in the position where someone who struck you as mentally unbalanced, or someone who struck you as a potential terrorist, murderer, shown up at a meeting or a rally? And if so, if you had that suspicion about them, what did you do? Did you act on it, call authorities, or have a private talk with them?
Yes, the answer is yes. Yes, there have been people who have come out to our events or come out to meetings, and they say things like, this clinic would be better burned to the ground. And we have told them to leave, and we have rebuked them. And I have heard in some cases where pro-life leaders have told local law enforcement agencies that this person has been at a meeting saying this clinic would be better burned to the ground. You have to understand, from a moral perspective, we repudiate this. From a tactical perspective, this has done nothing but destroy the image and credibility of an entire movement. So there is to be nothing gained from here outside of the immorality of taking of human life. From a strategic or tactical point of our movement, it behooves us to get these people out and to weed these people out. I have to say that they represent a fraction of the number of people who peacefully go out in front of clinics every day.
I have to say, I think, you know, you're maybe underplaying the tactics of groups like Operation Rescue and just referring to how peaceful they are, because from the point of view of the medical staff at abortion clinics and from patients, it's really serious harassment when in the past they've blocked entrances or you know, verbally harassed people are going in, or, you know, bolted themselves to doors or to cars or whatever.
Harassment is a subjective term. I mean, are we to say that saying abortion is murder. See, no one, and you're not, or Kate Michelman isn't, or Patricia Ireland isn't, or no one is, if saying abortion is murder and calling an abortionist a murderer, if that's disturbing to people inside, and I'm sure it must be, that's what free speech is all about. It's to be provocative, robust, and disturbing. That's what our founders intended. And what I'm hearing, the implication that I hear from that question or from pro-choice leaders, is they want to censor us. What, do they want us? Let me say this. There is no antiseptic way to describe abortion. It's the killing of an innocent human life. There is no antiseptic way to describe the Holocaust in Germany or racism or sexual harassment or starving children in Somalia. I mean, starving children in Somalia is not an eating disorder. The Bosnian conflict is not religious differences. And abortion, how would one want us to describe it? In taking this line of approach that it disturbs people in the clinic, it disturbs people. Free speech, provocative, robust speech, disturbs people.
You won't allow people who preach murder as a tactic to speak at your meetings.
Who advocate violence of any kind, spray painting clinics, putting tax in parking lot, gluing locks, that kind of thing, making harassing phone calls, none of that. All of that is immoral.
Where do you draw the line between what speech should be allowed and what speech shouldn't be allowed at your meetings and in the public arena?
Well, that's really a not as difficult a question on this subject as it would seem. Anything that advocates or supports violence, obviously justifiable homicide, spray painting clinics, butyric acid, popping windows out, tax in parking lots, gluing locks, harassing phone calls to, let me change the word harassing because that's so subjective, threatening phone calls. I think there's a difference between a legal definition between threats and harassment. Threatening phone calls, death threats, we're going to get you, your family's in trouble. These things are reprehensible. I think anything else falls under the tone of free speech. Abortion is murder, baby killing, whatever, blood's on your hands. Certainly very colorful language, very provocative language, but I think very protected language. I think when someone says something that is a direct link to a violent act, that's what needs to be labeled as, if you will, yelling fire in a movie theater. I think when someone says abortion is murder or abortionists are murderers, I think that's certainly within the protected realm of free speech. And I am fearful. I cherish free speech. And I'm afraid that we're entering a realm here where people calling abortion murder will end up being a hate crime. I think that's just disgraceful. And I'm surprised that more liberal people who cherish free speech on this particular issue, I guess it's okay for child pornographers to walk free, but it's not okay for someone to say abortion is murder.
Reverend Pat Mahoney is executive director of the Christian Defense Coalition. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.